Let's hit it. Ready? Do we have to clap again?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Thomas, Brett, and Lauren for doing this. This is going to be so fun. It's going to be like super chill and casual. This is just, we love doing these conversations just around like why people do what they do, especially when they're doing like really atypical, like crazy things. And we get to do it in this beautiful place. Thanks for opening up your home to do this and drinking some good espresso martinis. Mm-hmm. So first, I would love to raise a glass to you, Lauren, on everything that you guys are doing. Seriously.
Thank
cheers
you.
To you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
You guys are doing so much. You guys are like Thomas Rhett, you're on the road all the time, you're touring, you're writing, you guys both have 4 kids. And Lauren, you're taking care of those kids while Thomas Rhett is on the road. I think it would be, you know, so easy, honestly, and fair for you to just say like, hey, I'm really, really busy. I really care about what loved one is doing, but I'm like super, super busy. So like, can I help financially? How can I help here? Mm-hmm. But I just don't have that much time. But you've kind of done, you flipped that on its head and you're doing literally the exact opposite. you are just making this part of your story. And again, like what I want this conversation just to be about the why behind you do that. So I'd love to, this is intentionally broad, but like kind of like, why do you do Love One and how did you get started with Love One?
I love that it's broad.
It's a big question.
It's a big question.
Intentionally so.
Yeah. Thank y'all for having us and doing this too. This has been so much fun for me, just being friends with y'all, but also just also passion projects. It's so much fun and I've enjoyed being with y'all. So having this conversation is so exciting too, because we just love to sit and talk with y'all. So Love One is, yeah, it's also a passion project. It's become part of our lives. What year was that? 2014. 2014?
Mm-hmm.
2014, we'd been married 2 years, and I really just love being a supportive wife and love that he is able to live out the passion that he has and the gift that the Lord has given him. But I just, for the longest time, was like, I just feel like there's more. Like, I was made for more than just being a supportive wife. And he was on board, Thomas Rhett was on board with that too, but we were just like, I don't even know where to begin, what this looks like. But a friend of mine who I was really close with in college was living in Turkey at the time and had come home for like 3 days. And he was like, I really want to get with you and Thomas Rhett and just go get coffee or on a walk or whatever. And so he made time for us in his very short window of being back in America. And just the theme of that conversation with him was, the Lord has continued to put you on my heart for me to introduce you to my aunt. And I was like, that is just such a weird thing that you feel like I have to meet your aunt. But he'd said it to me for years. He's like, you remind me so much of my aunt. Like, I really think that y'all have got to get together. But it was just kind of one of those things that I was like, yeah, cool. Maybe we'll meet one day. And, you know, here I'm looking at my good friend who's come all the way from Turkey to be with his family. And he's like, I really want you to meet her. And I'm like, okay, great. He's like, okay, cool. So she is actually going to Haiti in a few weeks on a medical mission trip. And they had a nurse drop out and you were a nurse. You graduated from nursing school, passed the NCLEX. Technically you're a nurse and I think you need to go. And I'm looking at him like, wait, what? Like, I've never really been out of the country. And he had, I think it was like one of the probably most pivotal moments in your career. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you say?
You just had a record coming out.
That's a pivotal moment.
It was.
That's pretty big. Yeah.
It was.
That doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, it was, but it was also like around Die Happy Man, which I feel like was the turning point in you kind of skyrocketing into the career that you have now. Anyways, it was all lined up. Like that trip, I was going to be gone, was going to be right in the middle of all that he was doing. And so it was like this kind of fork in the road of like, I've always been this wife that has been there with you through everything that you've done and supported you through everything that you've done. And I won't be here for the late night shows, for the planes to hear, for the show, for that, and all the things that come with it. And Thomas Rhett looked at me and he was like, I think you should go. And I was like, really? I don't even know this woman. I don't know anybody going on this trip. We're going to Haiti of all places. And he's like, yeah, I think you need to do it. So fast forward, I ended up on the trip, and I say this a lot, but it's truly the only way I can think to describe it. But being there and watching Suzanne Marinick, who is the founder of Love One, watching Suzanne in that space with those children and the people of Haiti, and the way that she loves people is just different. And I remember feeling like how people describe love at first sight. It was like my soul like fell in love with all the things, all the details, like how God created me. It was like all of it was like magnetized to what was happening. And I was like, this is unbelievable. And whatever it is y'all are doing for the future, like, I want to be a part of it if you'll have me. And so went through the whole week and got to know a lot of the people that were, you know, involved at the time, and got to know Suzanne pretty well. Got to be pretty good friends with her husband, Mike, at the time. He was like already playing practical jokes on me by the end of the trip. And it just started this really beautiful friendship that in my heart I hoped was going to happen. But I was like, this woman is like running an organization. She's got 8 kids. Like, she doesn't need another friend in her life. Like, why would she choose to be friends with me? But I think like the Lord knew, like, my heart. He knew. He created me for this kind of a passion. And so my heart was longing to be a part of what she was doing. And on the flight home, I looked at her and I was like, hey, I don't know what this looks like, but I want to do whatever you do. Like, where you go, I will go. Like, if you buy a plane ticket, buy me one. I'll be right there with you no matter where you go. And she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes. And she was like, do you need to talk to Thomas Redd about it? And I was like, well, no, probably yes, but he's going to say yes. So, like, I know this is why I'm here. Yeah. And at least this is a big part of why I am the way that I am and who I am. So I got home. Well, actually, I flew straight into Las Vegas, which was the absolute worst decision.
For sure. That's a little different.
It was terrible. But that's how it started. I mean, I got back home and told him, you know, like, you're never going to believe. Like, I told him all the stories of, like, the children that we were able to serve, the families we were able to love on and connect with, the people who were on the ground doing incredible work there. It was just, like, what can we do to magnify and just put a spotlight on the work that they're doing for the world? And so since that day, he has been fully on board with everything that we've done with Love One. Now I'm on the board of Love One. Suzanne and I are best friends, and I feel like it's just such a sweet gift that the Lord actually like granted that prayer and like desire in my heart. And Thomas Rhett's good friends with Mike. I'm actually really close friends with her kids, because I'm kind of like age-wise right in between her and her girls. And so it's just been such a beautiful organization to be a part of, but also to get to do it with like close friends. And, you know, Mike and Suzanne are like mentors to me and Thomas Rhett. And then on my second trip, actually with Suzanne, is when I met Willa Gray, our oldest daughter, in Uganda. So the why behind why we do what we do, why Love One is such a huge part, truly I feel like the Lord made me for Love One, for to be friends with Suzanne, how we can come together. And, you know, she's, the Lord put the vision and the heart and the dream on her mind, in her spirit, in her heart, and she has kind of taken Love One, and the Lord has made it what it is today, which is unbelievable. You know, in the last 5 years, we've served over 10,000 children in Uganda. And what Love One does is take care of malnourished children. Mm-hmm. And we do it all in the name of Jesus. And that is Love One's why behind why Love One exists, is that every family and child that comes through our center is prayed over, is ministered to in whatever way that looks like, whatever capacity we have for that family and that child. And obviously we want a healthy child that's resettled back home with their family. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're like, if they hear the name of Jesus, like, that's the why behind Love One. But the Lord has greatly blessed Love One, I mean, beyond our wildest dreams. And we are building a bigger center in Uganda right now, where we're going to be able to take care of so many more children that are malnourished at one time. And
it looks so good. It's so big.
Yeah. It's huge. It's amazing. It's huge. It's so big.
How many kids are you guys doing now, and how many will you be able to after
so
that?
I was there 2 weeks ago, and we had 50 something children at one time. And they sometimes, you know, they'll stay for like a few weeks. Some of them are there for a few months, depending on the need, and lots of factors go into that. But the new center will have probably around 200 at a time.
That's amazing.
But then we have 800 in home-based care right now. Mm. So in COVID, we were deemed an essential organization. So we were able to still mobilize during COVID. And through that, we were able to assess children out in villages. Our staff in Uganda implemented this home-based care, where they're able to kind of go out and provide what they need. And then obviously the children that are severely malnourished and critically need help, those children are taken to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Once they're well enough to leave the hospital, they come to our center where we can rehabilitate them, educate family, kind of see what the needs are, figure out how we can get together and really like empower that family to have their child back home with them, and how not to get back in the malnourished situation again. And then it's this ripple effect, you know, that you see in one village, you'll have one or two kids that have come through Loved One Center. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, all these little children start to like gain weight. And they're like, hey, I know about this organization, Loved One, like they will take care of your child. And so we've got children coming from all over the country, and moms walking miles and miles to be with us, or, you know, out of desperation. And while we were there a couple of weeks ago, we actually had a phone call come in from a mother that a friend of hers knew one of the doctors that we have on staff. And he said, I know of a guy, Dr. Peterson, and he works for this organization called Loved One. And she was like, how do you know that they'll help? How do you know that they can take care of us? And he said, let me just call him and see. And so you have these mothers that are like, it sounds too good to be true. Why would they just let us through their doors and take care of our children? And right as we were flying out, this baby came through, and she is 8 months old. She was 5.5 pounds. And she just, like, honestly, we like didn't even know that she was going to make it to the hospital. You know, we were just like, is this little girl even going to make it past today? Like, the fact that she is 8.5 months old is mind-blowing. We prayed over her, and she's just kind of been one of the ones that I've sent messages out to our families and friends and been like, just please cover this little girl in prayer. And I got a video this morning from Jen, who runs everything Uganda in Uganda. And Jen said, you know, sent a message, and it was a video of this little girl, and her face is more full, like she is alert and she's moving and she's alive. And I'm just like, that is a full-blown miracle. Yeah. And so her little face comes to mind when I'm like, why do you do what you do? Like, this week it is for that little girl. It's unbelievable. It's the best adventure of my life. Behind marrying you and having our four kids.
That's an adventure for sure.
Well, I mean, and you're, I'm sure having your four kids like makes this feel even more personal, right? Yeah. Like, it's such a special, it's so special. And I love that Loved One, it's not just about like taking care of the children, but it's the families too. And making sure that if at all possible, the babies are united with their parents. Like, I don't know many organizations who are as holistic as y'all are. So it's really special work. And Thomas Rhett, I'm curious to hear like what it was like for you as Lauren stepped into this journey. Like, I'm sure it was a bit of a, well, I want to hear in your words like what it was like and how you've seen her like kind of blossom and how you're able to support her.
Yeah, I remember when we were doing marriage counseling, like before we got married, like premarital counseling, our marital counselor advised that Lauren maybe not work the first year of our marriage and that she travels with me. And I just remember my heart broke for her because I think innately I knew that that was the best decision. I think she did too. It just kind of, because we would have never seen each other. Like, I would have gotten home and she would have gone into probably 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift at the hospital or whatever. And, you know, I mean, I remember we were dating when she was studying for the NCLEX and she busted her tail. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Shout out to nurses. Cause like, yeah, and doctors, like it is for real. It is not a joke. But I just remember how hard she tried and how hard she studied. And then when she passed and then, you know, she's like, great. I just did all that work and I'm just going to go sleep with you and 12 dudes on a bus, you know?
So
and
you're touring full time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. we had no money, zero. Like I remember
we were living in his dad's condo.
Oh my God.
Living in my dad's condo. And I remember we went to go buy, a Christmas tree and I was just like, let's go to Target. Let's go to wherever and get the fake three piece. You know what I'm saying? It's like 2000
and pre-lit all the whole nine,
2012. She was like, no, like we buy real trees in my house. And I'm like, all right. A real tree back then was like $80. Yeah. And I remember calling our business manager like, hey, can we afford this? And he was like, kinda. You know what I'm saying? Like that's how we had no money.
You must do it.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
For Lauren.
But I remember, you know, it was after the first year and Lauren looked at me and she was like, hey, it's been real. I'm not gonna do that again. Mm-hmm. I was like, don't blame you, you know? And it was around, I guess 2 years in, it was around the time that she told you that story, she met Landon. And I remember being really, really like nervous, you know, but I also knew that if she didn't go do that, like I think she would have started to resent my life. And we've definitely been through our fair share of like resentment, like towards my career.
Counseling.
And I've definitely been
pro counseling.
I've definitely been in that phase of life where like I really liked me and I thought I was a big deal and all these kind of things. And through, like, seriously, dude, like, through Love One and Suzanne and, like, all the work that they have done, like, my life has been altered for forever. Like, she went 2 weeks ago, and, you know, if you haven't looked at the news, like, our world is, like, it's, like, not safe to go anywhere, you know? And I remember Lauren was like, do you feel okay with me going? And I said, do you feel okay with you going? And she was like, I feel peace. And I said, well, I feel peace. You know what I mean? I've learned to trust her spirit more than mine. Because I think men innately are just designed to be protector, macho, provider. Like, you know, you don't need to go because it's not safe. But then, like, I'm not the Holy Spirit. And so I feel like I've learned to just let go of so much control. And, like, it's honestly, like, the wilder the idea now, the more safe it sounds to me. Because it can only be God at this point. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's good.
Absolutely.
And but before all that, it was just like, dude, like, are you going to, like, keep going over there? And, like, you know what I'm saying? It was like, I was like, we just adopted a child. Like, we went over there a lot. You know what I'm saying? We were there for, like, almost
13 months. But
during the adoption.
In and out.
But it was during the adoption that I think that my faith went to a whole different level. Because, like, again, I mean, we don't have to go into the weeds of all that. But, like, there was just too many things that happened over there that were just impossible. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that Willa Gray is in Nashville right now, going to a school and thriving as an 8-year-old is a full-blown miracle.
Yeah.
And I just thank God every day that we get the opportunity to be her dad. All that to say, I was very selfish in the beginning. And I'm so grateful for all the work that the Lord has done on my heart, because I don't even recognize myself as a 24-year-old.
I mean,
person.
You're so free, honey.
So,
And I feel like, you know, as we've gotten involved in Love One stuff too, I mean, you're right there in it. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This year at the big fundraiser, I mean, you were leading the charge on some things too, which is
he
so
was.
Cool.
Yeah.
Crushed it.
It's been a lot of fun. It's like, and just to watch, you don't do it to fulfill yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's the misconception of many nonprofits, is like, oh, well, they just like to feel good about themselves doing this work. I'm like, man, if you go over there and see what they're doing, they ain't trying to feel good about themselves. Like, this is real. You know what I mean? Like, this is heartbreaking, real life. And they're on the ground doing it. They're not hiring people to go do it. They're going to do it.
Yeah,
you know, and they've become such a safe haven for a lot of the mothers over there. And you said it best a minute ago, but it's like, they're, you know, a lot of people view Love One as this, like, adoption thing, and it's just not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the ultimate goal is legit to keep the families together.
Yeah.
And then once the families are back together, then it's like, hey, how do we help you, like, sustain this? You know what I'm saying? And I think it's just like, the education is not fully there sometimes. And especially, like, I went with them, they call it, like, going out into the bush, meaning, like,
out in the villages.
We're already in a small town, but it's like
then you're going
a
out
smaller
from there.
Town. Yeah,
like, where it's like Nashville, Kingston Springs, White Bluff. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the difference. I remember going out there, dude, and it's just like, you know, I just think of the convenience that we have. It's like it's unbelievable the change in the difference. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, one of our kids has a runny nose, and we're like, the doctor is like on
right.
his way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's like,
even. Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
then like over there, I mean, it's you know. It's either no hope or you yeah. hear about something that can someone that can maybe heal right. or something, and then when you actually go into where they are, it's like it's wild. I don't even know where I'm going anymore.
No, right,
that's absolutely good. Incredible. I think you guys, yeah, it's like you hit on some things where it's like you say that it's not you're not doing it to fill yourself up
yeah.
And something I think with any passion project or anything that you're just like giving so much of yourself
sure.
to, there's an element of like redefining what success looks mm-hmm. like.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. you know, in quote unquote Western culture, like we're just inundated with this idea of like, oh, success is, you know, money and all this mm-hmm. stuff and freedom and time and, you know, mm-hmm. the things and everything. And I think you have to, I mean, there's honestly like, you know, doing something like what you guys are doing is arguably much harder. Then there's probably some easy paths to, you know, go and, you know, get the stuff, get the things.
Sure.
Just like give financially. Mm-hmm. Don't give your time yeah. and your resources and not all the things,
yeah.
but
yeah.
are diving in
yeah.
full on.
Yeah, you really are. And it's been like, it's so cool. So it's like, Lauren, is there like what did that, was there a moment when you had to kind of redefine that success for yourself or did it just kind of happen naturally?
It sort of happened naturally. I think also something that I wrestle with just as being a mother of four little girls is, you know, a lot of people are like, you have a mission. You have a mission at home. Like your mission is under your roof right now. You have four missions that the Lord has given you right under your roof. And I agree. But I really wrestle with like, am I not supposed to go do these things right now? Like, should I stay home with my girls and just raise them and just hunker down over the next however many years until I feel like I can travel again? And I think it's yes and no. I think there are times, and there have been times where we've had trips planned for me to go to Uganda or for him and I to go away and like be married and remember why we like each other.
Like, How have you been? Right. Nice to see you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes I feel that pressure of like, well, you should stay home. You need to be home. Like your girls need you. And I'm not saying that they don't and I don't need to be home. Mm-hmm. I want to be home. I love being home. But I also, to your point, like I think that it is a calling. It is something I feel like the Lord has designed my chemical makeup mm-hmm. for that to have been a moment where I truly fell in love with the work that Love One is doing and like what the Lord is doing through Love One. And I hope that I will be able to do it until I'm 90 years old, you know, but I do think at the same time, what has been really cool is for my girls to watch me go do these things and for me to bring these stories home and bring pictures home of this little girl that we just saw a couple weeks ago. And for us to like cover that little girl as a family and for the girls to see like what the Lord is doing through Love One. Also, not to mention like Willa Gray is Ugandan. Mm-hmm. So like, I think as a mother, me mothering my child, I think she loves seeing me taking care of the other little
for
ones
sure.
yeah.
that share her face.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, like yeah. I look at these little kids and I see her face in these yeah. children. And so I think like just in mothering her and loving her, I would be denying so much of my love for her and what the Lord has given me if I didn't go and love on those children. And I could do it financially from afar. But to your point, the Lord has canceled trips. He's putting roadblocks up and been like, hey, not your time to go to Uganda. And I'm like, great. And that's kind of our prayer, like, Lord, just put an obvious roadblock
yeah.
if
yeah.
this is not
make
the time
it easier,
for me
make
to go
it hard.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. And then if I'm like this last trip when, you know, Yeah. It was, you know, this country's on high alert and this country's on high alert, and there's just heartbreak all around the nation.
Yeah.
It's just like not a good time to go. And him and I were talking, and we were just like, well, when is going to be a good time to go? Like, mm-hmm. we're not guaranteed that everything's going to settle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so true.
And so we've been really trying to like define and have clarity on the Lord's voice in our life. And I think what he's been trying to teach us lately is like, hey, in the midst of the chaos, can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Because if every human in your life is saying it's not wise, but I'm telling you to go, can you hear my voice mm-hmm. telling you to go? And so that's what we've been trying to do as a family, individually, over our girls, especially with things with loved one and just other things that are happening in our life. But it's been really cool to watch him kind of guide those footsteps. So yes, there are times where he's like, hey, I have your ministry at home right now. Like, I need you to be there for your girls this week, or this Uganda trip isn't going to happen because you need to be a mom.
Right.
And then there are times where he's like, your girls are good. I need you to go do this. And I need you to, you know, be my hands and feet for this. And so, and I feel like just so grateful that he is even inviting us to kind of go on this journey with him and get to partner with him in the things that he's doing on earth right now. And I'm so grateful that my girls are getting to witness that just firsthand, just as us as parents kind of pouring mm-hmm. so much of our time and resources and heart and love into loved one. But success, I think, for us really is just like, are we okay? Mm-hmm. Are our children being raised to know and desire and love Jesus, and are we heeding his voice? Like, if he's calling us to do something, like, are we obeying right away? I don't want to delay. I want to obey right away. And that's kind of been our prayer, is like, we want to hear your voice. We want to do what you're calling us to do. So I love being a mom, and we were just talking about how I feel like truly our head is fully above water with the four girls now. Our youngest is 2, and it's so much fun getting to parent our girls. But at the same time, I want them to live into whatever calling the Lord has called them to. And that might be staying home as a mom, and it might be 100%. Both staying home and going, or it might be you're a mother in another way somehow else, and you don't have biological or adopted children. Whatever that looks like for them, like, I want them to like be true to what they feel like he has called them to be, and to not listen to whatever is around them holding them back.
Yeah. And I mean, no matter what, you're saying yes to this changes the way they think. They're thinking bigger just because you are in Uganda and you're doing things differently. Both of you guys are living life differently probably than a lot of your friends, and like, their world is bigger than just y'all's little home and your little family, which is really, really special. Mm-hmm. Thomas Rhett, how has success changed in your mind since you guys started this journey with loved one?
Man, I think polar opposite.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's not probably popular to say that, because I think it's still, in my line of work, I still think that success is measured by who's going to win Entertainer of the Year and whose record was the best and who had the most. I mean, there's like a new award that's made up every day.
Yeah.
It's like
most streams.
Most streams by a new artist on a Tuesday. You know, and it's just, it's just like, I don't know. I'm so grateful for what I've gotten to do. Like, I'm very glad that I am an artist, or an established artist, after like TikTok came around, because I don't know that I would make it.
I don't even know how to work it, dude.
I tried, and it was, me and her were like, we're not gonna make it in a marriage. Like, if I keep doing TikTok, so
this is not what success looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all like aged out of TikTok, dude. Just, like,
I have no idea even how to work it. Yeah.
I don't know. I think success for me today, my dad imparted some pretty good wisdom on me a couple years ago. It was like, honestly, right before the year 2020 that I started to feel like just a pull to kind of get back more to the root of myself. You know, like, I feel like when you start, like, fame, I don't think it was ever meant to happen to anybody. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we were designed to be able to handle that much glorification.
Yes. No.
You know, like, especially in a world like where everything is supposed to glorify God, like most singer, actor, anybody in the spotlight, you are kind of made to glorify yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you expect the glorification of other people. And so I used to define success on, did I sell this place out? And if I did, well, my buddy sold it out two nights in a row. Therefore, failure. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's measurable.
So that's when, like, comparison started to really just ruin me bad. And so today, like, my dad looked at me and said, hey, I think when you're on the road and you're making music and you're playing in front of people, I think you have to redefine your why. Because at some point, when you have made it to a certain level of success, it can't just be about money anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it can't be about a sellout anymore. Like, it's got to have a bigger purpose. You know what I'm saying? And so me and her have had many, many conversations about, you know, what it looks like to just how to use your platform for just light.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you spread light? You know what I mean? Without being a preacher and like telling a crowd to open up to the book of Matthew. It's like, how do you be light and like, and how do you show people what you and your wife stand for and what your family stands for and just how do you share your faith? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I still love to win. Like, it's fun to win, you know? And it's fun to have hits and it's fun to do all those kind of things. But I think my perspective, it just shifted so much to the point of like, it's not what my day hinges on any longer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's more about like, if I'm going to go do something, I'm about to go do it.
Yeah.
To the fullest. And in hopes of like, sparking and creating a real connection.
Eternal perspective.
Eternal perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Man, yeah, that's so good.
I think the way y'all live is different than, you know, a lot of people who are in your position, and you are, you know, like, your career still does spark joy in people. You are making an impact on people, but also the way you live makes that impact even more special, I think. But to that point, I, you know, knowing y'all, you have so much on your plates, right? You've got four girls. You have a career with Love One, or like, can we call it a career?
I think it is. One of my girls are like, is mommy going to work today?
Like, well, I mean,
that's what they call my
work. I think it's a career.
I'm going to work. I'm going to work for Love One.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you're touring. You're making records. You have this incredible family. You have a deep-rooted community. I just said to Thomas Rhett earlier, I was like, I meet new people every time I come to your house.
Yeah, there's always there's always people there. Yep.
Hey, I'm Jordan. So nice to meet you.
And they met you. They probably say the exact same thing.
Yeah. Revolving door. But you all do everything in your life so well, or from my perspective, I don't know how you do it. Like, how do you find balance? Like, even as a couple, like, you have this open door with all the things that you've been given, and you embrace it so head on. Like, how do you find balance in that?
This week specifically has been
we
really
didn't have balance this week.
Yeah, it's hard. It's been really hard. You know, life just hits sometimes, and I feel like this week, because of the closeness with a family that is like family to us, we have indirectly been hit hard just with how life can suck sometimes. And so this week, I mean, even this morning, he was like, hey, are we gonna talk at all this week? Like, do you have capacity for me to be your husband at all? So there are weeks like that, you know, where we're just like, oh man, we gotta like recalibrate. I feel like we're just, you know, life hits. And so, but I think that's exactly like the communication of like, hey, I feel like we don't know each other exists right now. How do we fix this? And that's when we, you know, don't go to the award show last minute and
there you go. Throw the
everybody
new award
for
show.
A big loop and be like, I'm so sorry, management. We really appreciate every single thing that you do for us. And our family doesn't have capacity for it this week. And so there's a lot of that. Shout out to Harry and Virginia. Constantly.
They are the best last
we love
minute
them.
People.
I mean, the Aikens family has a
sick left hook that no one sees coming. I felt like, I'm so sorry. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of things behind the scenes that we just don't have capacity for. Our family needs a beat. We haven't been on track for a minute. And that's honestly, that's where we are today. We're like, what day can we carve out some time for you and I to be together? And then,
I think learning how to say no to good things.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the hardest thing to do.
That's big.
Because I think good opportunities just happen. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like every day you wake up, there's a new opportunity. And you have the ability to justify if it's good or if it's bad. You know what I'm saying? And even if it's good, is it... That's what we've been trying. And it's so hard.
Because the enemy will use busyness to take you down. If he can't find something else, he can make 100%. You busy. And that's like the easiest way to take you down.
Dude, C.S. Lewis. If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really good.
I feel like I get taken down by busyness every 8 weeks.
And it's such an American thing, too.
Yeah, every time how are you doing? I'm busy.
But I think the reason we get busy, and this is what we were talking about earlier, is... and I'm so bad at naming where things are in the Bible, but the passage that's like... Bring all your plans before the Lord, you know? Like, you know, are we going to be there tomorrow or here next week? Y'all know the part I'm talking about. I need to do better at memorizing, for sure. I just say yes to stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And especially things that are far out. It's like, hey, dude, I know you're busy. It's March right now. Can you make time for me September the 9th? And I'm like, absolutely.
You're there.
And then... The week of September the 9th is a hell week.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't
stop. You can't plan for it. Yep.
You can't plan for it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I mean, I don't think it's like to the point of like, God, do you want me to go get espresso this morning or a vanilla oat milk latte? Like, I need to know. You know, but I do think when it's real decisions, like we have just tried to pray into like, hey, is that something you want for us? Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think with him doing your calendar, you can't get busy. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So true.
I've said no to things this year that right after I said no, I'm like,
I can't believe I just
and
did
management
that.
Is
I
like,
really cannot believe.
Honey, tell me to say, go tell me to call him back. Tell me to call him back. And I think he will honor that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think it's just like learning how to hear him. Because the Bible talks so much about how the Holy Spirit just is like a whisper. It's like the voice is so soft and I think for when I was trying to learn how to hear the voice of God, I used to just dismiss it as my subconscious.
Mm.
Like, that's me talking to myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, waking up in the morning is like, what do you mean to read, Lord? And my brain would be like, Habakkuk 2:12. And I'm like, that ain't my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't going to Habakkuk 2:12. And so, like, I think when you start to say yes, even when you are not 100% sure that it's, like, the Holy Spirit talking to you, I think he honors that.
Yeah.
He goes, he's trying. You know what I'm saying? It's like your kids. Like, they're trying.
They're trying. The effort's
there.
And so I think like balance is truly about asking him to like direct your plans. And it sounds so cliche, and I never fully understood that until this year we started to kind of like really be like, we were supposed to do a trip with our friends in December, a trip that we love and a trip that we have done.
It's so life-fitting.
It's like a tradition.
Yes.
And I was telling another friend of yours about how we were about to go. And Lauren looked at me and she was like, hey, I kind of felt convicted that we needed to pray about, are we supposed to do that or not? And I was like, don't do that to me.
Yeah.
I love this trip.
And honestly, we still don't know why we're not going.
Yeah, we have no idea.
We just
know that we're not supposed to.
But you guys have done, like you even said it, like you've done such a good job of like bringing that before the Lord. And he's kind of made it, you know, as hard as it is, like you have peace about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, and sometimes that means going and sometimes it means not going.
That's right.
And yeah, that's so incredible. And you guys already, you touched on this as well, but there's, I think like with the success piece, but I think you guys are doing an amazing job of, you know, showing your kids like what, you know, what living a meaningful life looks like. And I think like how I want to like end this is just, there's like, what does legacy mean to you guys, and what does leaving a legacy for your kids look like? What do you want them? With something that we always say is that like we want to die with memories, not dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like with this idea of just like to exactly what you were saying, Thomas, read about just saying yes to things, and if it, the crazier it is, the better it sounds. And I think especially with passion projects like Love One, devoting so much of your time and life to that, like that's crazy, you know. Yeah. But you're never going to, you know, to me, the worst case scenario is getting to the end of my life and looking back and being like, oh man, there's all these things I wish I had tried, but I was just too scared to, yeah. But you guys have done such an incredible job of walking through that door. But, yeah, it's like, that's so incredible to watch, but I'd love to just hear from you too, just in your own words of, you know, what does, for both of y'all,
yeah,
what does, you know, leaving a legacy, like, how do you guys mm-hmm. want to be remembered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you had mentioned, we have a buddy of ours who just got a pretty, just a, not a fun diagnosis on his life. And I was with him the other night and he literally asked me the same question. He said, what do you ever think about legacy? Mm. And I don't ever talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't really think about it. But when he started talking about it, it sort of sparked it in me. Because I think you and I were saying this earlier, like, why sometimes does it take death or the thought of death to like decide then to live your life? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because like the American dream is, I've sort of started to relate it to the parable of the talents in a way. You know, the last dude just buries it all. And he's like, I don't trust this dude.
He's sitting on it.
And I'm just going to wait because in the end I'll have something and they're going to be broke.
Yeah.
I feel like that's sort of the American dream in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, let's work. Let's save. And then let's just quit doing everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I love being an American. Like, yeah. I'm proud to be an American.
Yep.
But the American dream is skewed a little bit, right? Like, I don't, like, I would say that I'm guilty of probably having those moments of like, if I can stock this amount of money in the bank, we can just go chill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Retire early, do the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now I'm just like, chill for who? Yeah.
And then like, what?
And then what? You know what I'm saying? And so I think I don't want it to take a life altering moment for me to finally like do. And I'm not saying that like it has to go be shark diving. You know what I'm saying? But like living
Thomas
full.
Thomas Rhett's worst nightmare.
Couldn't pay me.
I'd be like, all day long.
Yeah. But because my buddy, because I was asking him, I was like, man, I haven't thought about legacy. I said, what's your legacy / bucket list? You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And he was like, man, before I got this news, my bucket list looked a lot different.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My bucket list was like, I'd love to hunt a red stag in New Zealand. And he said, and that's still on my bucket list. but like all these things for himself, you know what I'm saying? Or like memories with his wife or with his boys. But he goes, man, my legacy now is like, my number one bucket list moment is that every person I come in contact with would know the name of Jesus because they see it in me. Mm. And he's like, that was maybe on my list somewhere, but it wasn't at the top of my list.
It's somewhere there in the middle, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, I'm not saying that you have to even go live this life full of crazy, insane adventure to live a full life. You know what I'm saying? I think that the Bible talks so much about how do you react in the monotony of the mundane?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's where your real you is tested. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can all kind of rally in the big moments. Mm-hmm. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or in the really sad moments. But it's in those moments where like not a lot happening. It's just a normal school week.
Yeah.
Kids are being normally bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like it's like how do you act?
We're good.
We love you girls. You're so proud of you.
It's like who are you in those moments, I think, is what your legacy ends up being. You know what I'm saying? Like you're gonna have some heroic
I love that.
Heroic That's things. Good. But I think like when your kids are speaking at your funeral, hopefully, they're going, you know what? Like my dad was awesome and we did some awesome stuff together, but like when it was like when life was boring, my dad was solid.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
When life was like monotonous, my mom was a rock star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing to do.
It is.
Yeah. In the routine. So, you're consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'll piggyback love that. Off that. I feel like we're reading a book together called The Circle Maker. And it's got like a 40-day...
Yeah. Anyone listening to this podcast needs to drop what you're doing.
Pause this. Maker.
I'll buy it for you.
I've read the first chapter. I'll get back up.
It is good. It's rocked his planet. But we have started doing that together. And that's been really cool just to do for each other. And they also have one like praying circles around your children. He has one,
yeah.
The author. And it's been incredible. But one of the things that I've started praying, and I feel like this kind of goes hand in hand with like what legacy do you want to leave behind, is like in a world where people do try to be famous or they are famous, and it's this, like you were talking about, the self-glorification thing. One of the prayers that I've been praying is that I would be famous in my own home, and like in those moments that feel like the normal Monday, Tuesday, whatever, the moments that feel unimportant, I think at the end of this life will be the most important.
Yeah.
And for my girls and for him to see me as, because they're the ones that see me, good, bad, ugly, all in between, for me to be somebody that they feel safe with and feel loved by and feel like they can be real with and encouraged by, hopefully inspired by, that is the legacy that I want to leave, is that my girls know how loved they are by Jesus first, then by us, and that they will take that and live into like the fullest life. Because if anything is true, it is 1000% that like a life full out, like committing your life and time and resources and family to Jesus, is like anything but boring.
Yeah.
Mm. And honestly, what happens, I think, even people that are like, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, but he doesn't call me to anything to much. But it's like, he might not have called, you feel like he might not have called you to much, but are you like truly living into the things that you're like, that can't be the Lord talking to me, or like, that feels really weird, that doesn't make sense, or people are going to think that I'm crazy. You know the people, yeah, that are like living for the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's because their life is anything but boring.
Mm. Yeah.
So true.
And so I hope that my girls and the generations to come from the Akins family are people who live completely just wide open, wild and free for Jesus, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
And that they know how loved they are no matter what. And that they take that and they just love on people the best that they know how for the rest of their life. And and another thing that a mentor just told me a few weeks ago when I was like really praying about this last Uganda trip, I was just feeling so much pressure from both sides. I'm like, I feel like I need discernment. I feel like I've heard the Lord's voice, but I feel like I can hear all these other voices around me telling me not to go. And she was so instrumental in just praying with me and for me. But one of the things she said is, you know, it's really hard to see the Lord and to pay attention to the Lord if you're constantly turning around looking at your children. And I was like, whoa. That doesn't mean you abandon your kids.
Yeah.
But it means that they see you watching Jesus. And yes, that's what they see more than anything, because how you live your life is what's going to teach them. You talking at your children will have some effect.
Yes.
But mostly they're going to see what you see. They're going to do what you do. They're going to hear what they're witnessing in your life. And I just thought that was so powerful. Like, I'm going to love my kids well. I do love my kids well. They know they are loved by me, but they also know that my first priority is to watch Jesus. Mm-hmm. And my prayer is that will be in all of our girls.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have any more children or whatever that looks like, and for the generations to come after.
We're not pregnant.
That will be the legacy.
No way.
Clarification.
We are not pregnant.
Yeah. The majority of the time I've known you.
Under the
you
table.
Yeah.
Under the table right now.
So same though.
Yeah.
We've been pregnant at the same time. Yeah. Seeing each other at the doctor.
Brutal.
To that. Like, y'all are, you're doing that beautifully. Like seeing you, you know,
amen,
walking into your home or seeing you at school or whatever, like both of you. Picking up the kids while Lauren's in Uganda. I was right behind you in pickup the other day.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I texted Lauren and I was like, he's crushing.
He's doing great.
I would say the majority, I think God allowed her to go that week so that he could prove to me that it was possible.
Yeah.
To take care of
my kids. Not only that, Lil Gray didn't have her braids in. Like, there's no weave. It's all her natural, beautiful hair.
Yeah.
And anyone who knows how to take care of African hair,
it's a process.
It is a labor of love.
Yeah.
and it is hard.
Yeah.
And it's worth it, and it's beautiful. That is not something that Thomas Rhett has done very much over the last 8 years. Oh, and he did such a good job.
Go.
And Willa Gray was like, right. Mommy, Daddy did my hair really good. I was like, I'm so proud. And she was proud of her hair, which I mean, is like a compliment.
Man, that is
to
what
you.
Success looks like, yeah, right there. That's that is right. What success looks like. Right.
Making your girls feel beautiful.
That's right.
Oh, man, I love that. Okay, last thing. What do y'all do for fun? I feel like we've been like deep, but I'm like, you have a night or like a day or a week. Like, what are you doing for fun? Where are you going?
Together or separately?
Yeah.
Either.
Yes.
I want to know kind of together.
Okay.
Yeah. Together, we're probably out here.
Yeah. We love to be out here. And,
at our farm with our horses.
I don't ride as much as she does. I'm always terrified that I'm going to get thrown off.
Same.
Because I have been thrown off a horse before. It's not fun.
Not our horses.
I love to just sit out here at the farm. It's awesome. And horses have kind of become our thing together.
Yeah.
But we also like staycations are pretty awesome. Like I think if you were to tell me, if my grandmother looked at me and said, or if my mom said, "Hey, I'm taking all four of your kids for a week," I don't know that I'd book a trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would stay
at my house. We'd pick a show.
Yes.
And watch the whole thing and like order
sushi
food.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sleep in.
Let somebody else cook for you. Stay in.
That's right.
With kids is like, when you're doing stuff for yourselves, like you kind of have to get out of the house because your kids are at the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, I feel the same way. The ultimate luxury is just like being at home with when your kids aren't there and you can have like a night
for sure
to yourselves.
Yeah.
It's so special.
Oh, yeah. It is so good.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I love to play golf too. That's that's my own thing.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Trying to get her into it.
Usually, if I have free time outside of being in our home, I'm usually out here with Daisy. Mm. Well, or in Uganda with Suzanne.
Yeah.
Mm. We do love the beach. We love the mountains. We love to travel.
You do.
And our family, our girls love to travel. Our family, we're little travelers. So that spirit of adventure is strong in me. And it is bleeding off to our girls. But I think in the season of life we're in, just as young parents, we're exhausted.
Yeah.
So usually I'm hanging here or, having a quiet moment somewhere outside.
I love that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think like with anything like that's worthwhile doing, it's so important to take that time to rest. So when you come back to it, you're
for
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guys, this has been amazing. Like, whoa, like I feel like this was a therapy session for like, I mean, I got chills like 17 times. So this was amazing. But yeah, guys, thank you for doing this. Thank you for everything both of y'all do. Lauren, thank you for everything you do with Loved One. It's just absolutely incredible. Again, an incredible amount of respect for both of you guys.
Yeses are making an impact on your family and the people around you. It's really special to be a tiny part of it.
Thank you. Likewise, we are huge fans of y'all as humans and as Ranger Station. And I just think it's really cool that we get to do things like this together, like make cool sense, and it's gonna like benefit the world.
I know.
It's so fun.
It sounds crazy. So let's do it. The crazier it sounds, let's do it.
I told you before, I haven't worn cologne since Abercrombie Fierce.
There you go.
So this is a big deal. And I wear it I put it on every day now.
It's
a big step.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So hard to beat the Fierce. Why fragrance?
Well, we've talked about this quite a bit, but there is this weird thing that I don't know it because I can't smell myself, which I think is probably a good thing, bad thing. I don't know. But for years, my friends have been like, oh, it smells like Lauren. Or like they'll walk into a room and they're like, oh, it smells like Lauren. And so we were talking about it, making candles with y'all, doing like incredible candles with Ranger Station, benefiting Loved One, all the fun things just are in our entire home.
And we did. We made a candle.
We made amazing candles.
It's like a take on our leather and pine, which is y'all's like house scent.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Like the Aiken's
house scent.
That's right.
Smells like leather.
Sweat
and pine.
That's right, leather, baby.
So that is part of what I smell like. But when we were talking through it, you had said something like, "Oh yeah, well, we just made this scent for." I can't even remember. And you're like, "Well, this is actually a perfume." I was like, "You can wear that as a scent, like on your body." And you were like, "Yeah, this is part of what we do. This is part of what Steve does." And I was like, "For real?"
And so we just sparked the conversation, sparked like, what would it look like to try to capture whatever it is, that scent
you in a bottle.
That you love.
Yeah.
Or I that mean, your yeah, friends honestly, say that yeah. they smell, because it's something. We were in Wyoming a couple of weeks ago, and a lady at the checkout counter was like, are you wearing something? What do you have on? And I was like, oh my gosh, she is talking about the perfume that I just made at the ranger station. And, but it's a thing. It's a thing that we tried to capture, and we thought it would be fun if we could master it. And Steve did.
Mm-hmm. I think you did. I just helped you along the way. That was great. Yeah.
You were a, like, she would be like, not in a like diva way, more of a, you were self-conscious about it. You're like, okay, no, it's still not like quite there, which is exactly what we wanted.
For sure.
We wanted this to be like Lauren's perfume forever, you know, like.
Well, but the true test, because I can't smell it. The true test was like, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just going to live my life, and it's going to take me a couple of weeks. But as soon as I get enough people asking what I'm wearing, we'll know that it's right. Yeah. And
field test that.
Right. It was perfect. Not only that, but the Marinics all were like, in their house.
Yeah.
You know, earlier this week we were in their house, and a couple of them came out from their rooms upstairs, and Milleran goes, I smell Lauren. And I was like, we did it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And you like, so there's like one piece you were like, it's not working, but I still love this one piece. And then you were like, oh.
Uh-huh. Because my mom, actually, the initial scent that we had made, my mom is obsessed with it. And one of our friends, Austin, he was like, oh, I love that. And so I've got people that are like, that's not exactly, quote unquote, what Lauren smells like, but we're obsessed with it. It's a little more masculine, although also could be unisex. So I don't remember who had the idea, but
it was you. Like, no, that was you. That was all you.
We'll split them up. Yes. We'll just pull out some of it and save it, because people really love that. And then we'll save just the Lauren part of it and make it into Daisy and Cowboy.
Mm-hmm. So fun.
Who's Daisy and Cowboy? What are they named after?
Yeah. Oh, they're just a giant part of my heart and soul and becoming part of Thomas Rhett's. Daisy is my Mustang from Wyoming. And Cowboy is Thomas Rhett's little paint horse.
Yeah, little,
who's just the sweetest little peanut.
Our friends call him Little Peanut.
It's
kind of tiny. So when you see us in these pictures, and I'm shorter than Lauren, it's because he is a lot shorter than Daisy.
There's
so.
Still time to change the name from Cowboy.
Little Bud, though.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. But we do fun. We do cowboy stuff, though.
Yeah.
We really do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've roped a little bit.
You have. I've not roped.
Yeah. It's fun.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It is fun. This has been so fun. So thank y'all for helping
y'all so
us
much.
Kind of come to life. And be such a huge part of Love One. Y'all are always some of our biggest supporters, and we just are beyond grateful as friends and getting to do things like this that we can call business. But it's really just a lot of fun for me.
It's an excuse to hang out.
That's right.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It
thanks
is
for
the honor of our lives working with y'all and getting to do this. That like these perfumes benefit Love One. A large portion of the proceeds go to Love One. And how cool is that? They're like, you're supporting something, but you don't even realize
that's right.
You might be in Ranger Station and just pick one up.
For sure.
And you're supporting Love One. So we're so proud of it.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, honestly, thank you guys for letting us be a part of, you know, what Love One is doing. Like we have so much respect for that organization and everything you guys do for it. And it's just honestly like we talk about it often of just like we feel like thanks for welcoming us into that. But it's been this has been amazing.
We love
so
it.
Go team.
Cheers to you, Lauren, one more time.
Cheers,
everything
bro.
You're doing.
Cheers.
Cheers.